Like the history of many nations, the kingdom of Israel had periods of prosperity and depression, warfare and peace, religious corruption and religious reform, and societal injustice, as well as relative times of justice and equality. The time was about 750 BC, the place, the northern kingdom of Israel. The kingdom was in a period of relative prosperity, but which had become a society with an increasing chasm between the rich and the poor. The wealthy ruling classes knowing and deliberately relied upon the oppression of the poor and the common man in order to maintain and increase their own wealth and power. Injustice to them was alive and well, but it was very much injustice. But everything was masked behind personal agendas and great piety in order to deceive innocent people, deceive them of their own greed and oppression. This was far from the will of God, and belied the fact that this nation was under God, the chosen nation of God, a nation above all nations. The realities of what was happening internally were not what was being projected and proclaimed by the ruling classes. They had become pious and hypocritical. The wealthy and influential were oppressing the poor, and then hiding behind their piety of hypocrisy. Like in many societies in which this happens, there eventually always seems to be a voice which reveals the hypocrisy and injustice and calls for reform. One only has to be reminded of Martin Luther, for example. They act as a mirror, revealing the truth. The voice in this instance, so long ago, came through the prophetic words of the prophet Amos. Amos dramatically pointed out what the people had construed to be the desire of God, and it was completely opposite to it. Completely opposite to the desire and will of God. He stated, "Alas, for you who desire the day of the Lord, why do you want the day of the Lord? It is darkness, not light. As if someone fled from a lion and was met by a bear, or went into the house and rested a hand against the wall and was bitten by a snake. Is not the day of the Lord darkness, not light, and gloom with no brightness in it?" Now, on the surface, Amos seems to be saying that the life which God wishes is a life of doom and gloom. Everything is dark and hurtful. But that was not the case. Amos was representing the real truth which the people of Israel, in and of their own actions, were actually doing and promoting. Their misconstrued piety and ego-centered religion actually created this concept of the dark will of God. They were seeing their life and their relationship with God as self-serving, pietistic rituals which had nothing to do with God's will. Amos specifically points this out. I despise your festivals and take no delight in your solemn assemblies. Even though you offer me your burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. And the offering as well-being of your fatted animal, I will not look upon. Take away from me the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the melody of your harps. Everything that was thought to be pleasing to God was in fact just the opposite. These pietistic acts were nothing but hypocrisy, since they did nothing to change their lives, and now they treated each other. They actually have become excuses to alleviate guilt for the injustices that they actually lived. They replaced what was really important to a loving God with their own self-serving, hypocritical piety. Amos was the voice to set off the alarm for change. His plea for a change of heart within the ruling religious, social, wealthy, and political classes of the kingdom, and a radical change of direction for the kingdom of Israel. These are the words which would bring about that change. But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. These words of Amos have become timeless in their importance. They have lifted oppressed people throughout history to a renewed sense of hope, a renewed sense of purpose and determination. They emphasize that God does not want his name associated with those who practice the oppression of his children, especially the poor, most vulnerable and defenseless. Let justice roll down like waters has come alive to those who have been oppressed in almost every age of history since Amos delivered this message of God. When I began setting forth the situation of that ancient nation, many probably thought that I could be talking about today in this nation. If we are perfectly honest, perhaps the shoe may fit. In many ways, the crisis we are in today is a reflection of the situation in 750 BC. Mankind has not learned from the past and continues to fall into the trap of idolizing wealth and succumb to the dictates of the wealthy or those who lead us astray. They lead us to a false sense of hope and personal glory. But in fact, they try to brainwash us with promises that lead us in the other direction. They are actually wolves dressed in sheep's clothing. The way they choose for us is that of injustice, divisiveness, and false hope. Justice for all is masked and really means the opposite, the power of injustice used by the few. The tragedy is that people fall for it because it always is cloaked under some emotional issue which leads us astray. Even more tragically, Injustice is made to appear to be justifiable by masking under terms of some kind of religiosity or even patriotism. It is Amos's prophetic words which must come alive again. They must come alive again, since the very core of the gospel of Christ is being threatened by those who twist and misconstrue its meaning in order to validate their societal, economic, and political wishes and agendas. The gospel is not a gospel which makes money its saint. It is not a gospel which promotes hate and divisiveness. It is not a gospel which rewards injustice and corruption. It is just the opposite. For Jesus was born to present the message which not only defines the justice of Amos, but gives a core motivation for it to be lived. In order for justice to find its true meaning, it must evolve out of love and the power to forgive. In this way, Jesus fulfilled Amos' words. He fulfilled it by being the very meaning of love, for he was and is the definition of God's love. Jesus saw the injustice of prejudices and economic and social extremes. He ministered equally to those who were considered to be outcasts and longtime enemies of his people, the Jews. Just look at his meeting with the Samaritan woman at the well. He cured the daughter of the Canaanite woman. He healed the servant of the Roman centurion, the Jewish enemy. And he even gave a Samaritan credit for saving a beaten wayfarer in his parable of the Good Samaritan. In each of these cases, he could have chosen the misconstrued definition of man's justice by doing just the opposite and have been justified in the eyes of society's justice system in doing that. But he didn't. He determined justice as defined by God's love. In every case, when he met up with the tragedy of the downtrodden of society, he gave justice its true meaning. Remember the story about the rich man and Lazarus, the diseased beggar. The rich man thought he was justified in his life of wealth. Therefore, he ignored the poor, diseased man who sat by his gate. He just ignored the ability to share his wealth, to help this man. The justice of God would be seen at death, where in his lack of love damned him. Or the story about the rich young man who followed all the laws of justice out of the motivation of receiving a reward. And Jesus answered and said, he said that he needed to sell his possessions and give to the poor. Basically, Jesus was saying, justification and righteousness comes when one's life is motivated out of God's love, not out of bitterness, not out of hatred, not out of divisiveness, but God's love. John, in his first letter, defines this love as to its motivation behind justice. He wrote, "Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us." This is the justice that Amos is proclaiming, and which finds its definition and meaning through the message of Jesus. It is this message of justice that we so desperately need within our world at this very time. Without it, we are just fooling ourselves and are on a slippery slope towards turmoil and extreme injustice, which we will all feel, and which will bring death and destruction to our society. We just celebrated the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. We need to take heed that today we need a new Reformation which proclaims Amos' words, "But let justice roll down like waters, and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream." This will only happen. It will only happen if we as individuals seek this reformation first within ourselves. That's where it all begins, right here. Then, we may find the hope that we as a society so long for. It all starts here. Amen.